This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
In a world of portable screens, what is the value of a printed magazine? I'm David Brancaccio from St. Paul today. First, there's news congressional leaders have reached a deal that would keep the government funded through September, but Congress still needs to vote on it. For more, let's check in with Larry Adam, Chief Investment Officer at Raymond James, which is a marketplace underwriter.
Look, we're in an election year. I don't think they're going to have a shutdown because I just don't think that there's any appetite for that with the voting public. So I think they'll come to some type of agreement.
All right. Now, the Federal Reserve, the guardians of interest rates, are just starting to meet now. They meet again tomorrow. They're not going to lower interest rates tomorrow.
No, I don't think that that's on the docket until probably June. I think they'll meet. They'll talk about what they're going to do potentially with their balance sheet. That's probably the bigger story coming out tomorrow. And then they'll probably make the inclination that they will probably start to cut rates in the summer. Remember, we were growing north of 4% 2 quarters ago. It was down to 3%. This quarter, I think we'll have a 2% handle. So the economy is surely slowing. I think that they're going to want to take out some type of insurance policy during the summer to make sure we don't slip into a recession.
Now, I mean, given how housing stock on the market is in such short supply, I guess it shouldn't surprise us when we get data from February here showing a bounce in new housing starts. I mean, contractors can see this. They know there's demand.
Well, I think it was twofold. I think that there's clearly more demand. And keep in mind that the weather improved in February versus where it was in January. So that was just a natural bounce back from some of the lesser activity that we saw in January.
Larry Adam is Chief Investment Officer at Raymond James, which is a marketplace underwriter. Some disclosure there. Larry, thanks.
Have a great day.
Sports Illustrated has a new publisher. As part of the deal, editorial control of the nearly 70-year-old magazine goes to Minute Media, which also owns digital sports publications like the Players Tribune. Minute says it'll continue to put out the print version of Sports Illustrated, which is saying something in this digital age. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes has that.
A lot of us become sports fans when we're kids. That means plenty of people who are adults now flipped through Sports Illustrated when they were young and still feel attached to it.
There's a whole generation, multiple generations of people that grew up reading Sports Illustrated and envision themselves on those pages someday.
Nola Aga is a professor of sport management at the University of San Francisco. She says that long history means the print magazine is a big part of the Sports Illustrated brand. And by keeping it around,
you're maintaining the value of that brand.
And being in print means increased visibility, specifically in places where people are looking to read, like airports, doctor's offices, grocery store lines. And Syracuse University journalism professor Harriet Brown says that's important, especially in the crowded world of online publishing.
It's really hard to get traction on stories that only appear digitally.
Brown also says a big part of the appeal of Sports Illustrated is the photographs. And she says a lot of those images are just more beautiful to look at in print. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
The London-based conglomerate Unilever indicated today it has lost its taste for ice cream, announcing it will hive off into a separate outfit, Ben & Jerry's, along with its other ice cream brands that include Breyers and Klondike. The streaming service Showmax, focused on audiences in sub-Saharan Africa, is making major investments in content from African countries. This at a time Amazon Prime Video scales back content production in that region. Showmax had 21 new original series released last month alone, the BBC's Aaron Akinyemi reports.
Lights off for eight. No.
This is a scene from Youngins, a new high school drama from African streaming service Showmax, which is vying to become the continent's biggest streaming platform, rivaling Netflix.
Welcome to Edifan's Plantain,
the jungle.
The South African drama series revolves around a group of young friends figuring out life, love, and sex at the fictional boarding school Olifantsfontein High. The show's director Tembe Mfebi and actress Kaliboha Masongo, who plays the role of head girl Bule, explained more.
It follows Amu, who is this young girl who's lived a very closeted life. She goes to Joburg and joins this very wild public school.
I would describe the show as captivating, relatable, fresh, but like South African fresh.
Youngins is one of 21 new original African series released by Showmax and forms part of its ambitious strategy to expand its market share in the African subscription video on demand space. While other global streaming giants such as Amazon Prime are scaling back investment and cutting jobs in Africa, Showmax is doing the exact opposite. The company's CEO Mark Jury told me that the streaming platform is ramping up production and boosting its roster of African-made productions tailor-made for African audiences.
You know, it runs into billions of rands in terms of the investment. Just over 2 years ago, we've come together with Comcast, and there's been a significant investment in terms of a longer-term strategy. And that strategy really focuses on making it effortless for people across the African continent to access and afford the stories that they love.
Showmax's competitor Netflix is also steadily expanding its African presence. Between 2016 and 2022, the company invested $175 million in South Africa, Nigeria, and Kenya. Showmax was launched in 2015 by Pan-African entertainment giant MultiChoice, which also owns one of the continent's biggest pay TV operators, DStv. It operates in 44 sub-Saharan countries and will unveil its first original series in Ethiopia and Tanzania later this year.
The BBC's Aaron Akinyemi there. A video game full of teachable moments about housing discrimination converted to the live stage in Detroit. Our latest Skin in the Game short film about the project is now out, streamable from marketplace.org or on YouTube using the handle MarketplaceAPM. In St. Paul today, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.